Hello and welcome to the X-Files podcast. This is a weekly podcast in which we journey through the X-Files TV series, which aired in 1993 and ended in 2002, but is being rebooted for January 2016. Of course, this series lasted 9 seasons, 202 episodes. It also had 2 movies and a spin-off show. Quite the lengthy series, and we are currently on season 1. In this podcast, we'll have spoilers. We definitely spoil these episodes because you can't really talk about them at length without spoiling them. So, listener, beware, there will be spoilers. Joining me tonight is my co-host, who is Mr. Kyle Thomas. What's up?
What is up, JP? Nothing much, man. I've just been hanging out and working on some stuff. I actually went and saw Star Wars, which, yeah, that's the big thing this week, is the Star Wars movie. I went and saw that by myself on opening day. I wanted to get there early before anybody got it spoiled for me. So, but other than that, man, just working on some stuff on the channel, working on that Ash vs. Evil Dead podcast that we just started.
Absolutely.
What's been up with you, man?
Well, we just wrapped up our 3rd annual Christmas extravaganza show on the 22 Shots of Moods and Horror that just published tonight, which means by the time you hear this episode, it'll be about 5 days ago. And yeah, that was pretty cool. We actually had a guest on there, Stephen Ferrandino, Shock Extreme One. He's a old school cat that we was friends with for years. One of the first people I met when I ventured into my online addiction of YouTube and podcasts and stuff. And it was really cool to have him on there. It's actually one of our shortest episodes in a long time. It's I forget, 2 hours and 13 minutes or two hours and 34 minutes, something like that. It's super short. But yeah, so check that out. Kyle, you're no longer the only guest in the history of the 22 Shots. Steve is now the second official guest on there.
Awesome. I have to listen to that episode. I'm interested because I've never heard an episode where there was anybody, you know, other than you guys, and now he's been on there. So that's going to be – and that's cool. Honestly, that's not that bad that, you know, it's 2 hours and 13 minutes. I kind of find that to be a good thing, I mean, sometimes. So, because sometimes those episodes could take me a couple of days to finish. So that's not a bad runtime.
Well, it also helped that the movies we covered were just – I won't say much about them, but they're definitely not good. Jack Frost 1 and 2.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's it for me, man. Tonight, we are continuing along with Season 1, and this is Episode 7, titled Ghost in the Machine, correct?
Yep. Yeah, we are on Season 1, Episode 7, Ghost in the Machine. This episode was originally aired on October 29th of 1993. We're still in October.
So this is the Halloween episode, technically. This, I mean, it didn't air on Halloween, but it's the last one before Halloween.
Not really Halloween-ish, but it is the Halloween episode, I guess you could say. So yeah, it was aired October 29th, 1993, and it was directed by Gerald Friedman and written by Alex Gonza and Howard Gordon, which I believe did a previous episode that we talked about, if I remember right.
Well, let's talk about Gerald Friedman first. So he really hasn't done much that I'm familiar with. He did a lot of TV movies, some TV stuff. It doesn't look like he did a bunch, like very much horror stuff at all. He did an Alfred Hitchcock's Presents episode, and he did a TV movie in 1995. Was the last thing that he worked on in terms of directing, and it was the O.J. Simpson story, and he directed it as Alan Smithy, which is a pseudonym for somebody who doesn't want their name on it. So. Yeah, he hasn't really done much at all, and that probably turned him off. He probably got, like, death threats or something for that.
Yeah, that's kind of crazy.
And then he never worked again. And the other guy, the writers, I'm not too familiar with it. I haven't seen them do anything before, but as I'm looking here at their credits, it looks like they do have a little bit of writing work. The Alex character did a few – he actually – does more episodes of the X-Files as we continue on. Dawson's Creek, he did a lot of episodes of 24 and the TV series Homeland, so he's still making stuff, but it does look like he took a little bit of break. And for the Howard Gordon, he actually we've talked about before as well, and he wrote the fourth episode, which was Conduit.
Yeah, sweet. Yeah, I was going to say, I remember their names from previous episodes. I can't really extremely remember, but that's cool. Yeah, I mean, I know that I saw that saw them on when I was looking up stuff. I saw that they do a good bit of other episodes, so that's very interesting that to know. And something that I will go ahead and say, this is a Monster of the Week episode, or considered Monster of the Week story. Not really a monster per se that you'll see in this, but this is considered a story that doesn't go along with the linear storyline. We've been getting a lot of these in the first season because mainly, you know, the first season of any TV show, they're kind of just running under the radar, trying to see if people are going to like this show, especially yeah. with a show like this. They probably already had several seasons planned out of this show if it was going to do well. So they, you know, they kind of running under the radar, doing these little, you know, filler episodes, basically is what I would call them, to see if they, you know, if people are actually interested in watching, you know, watching this. Yeah. So pretty interesting. Yeah. But
and this one actually got a little bit of spike in viewership as well. So previously the episode Shadows was 8.8 million viewers, and this episode was 9.5 million viewers. So still not as high as the premiere, but definitely still pretty solid. This you know, it picked back up after last episode, which was technically one of the worst episodes in terms of viewership during the first season. So this one kind of gets us back into the thing again, back into the swing again, and it didn't break the double digits, but you know, pretty close there at 9.5.
Yeah, interesting. That's cool to see that it actually had a little spike in viewership there. I mean, I think, in my opinion, with some of these first season episodes, they were hit or miss, like huge mm-hmm. time. That's why it was hard. It sometimes was hard to rewatch the first season. I mean, they do get better, but it's one of those things where, like I was saying, they have to kind of run under the radar and see if people are going to actually pick up on the show, which obviously it looks like at this point they are starting to. So really cool to see. We'll kind of just go ahead and jump into the episode, if you don't mind.
Let's do it.
We'll go ahead and start off. Pretty much the episode starts with this nerdy guy. That's what I put in my notes here. It's kind of funny. This nerdy kind of looking guy. He kind of reminds me of Larry David. He looks like Larry David a lot. Yelling at a CEO, basically the CEO of some company, the guy looks like, about them killing his company. So this nerdy guy created this company, and he's yelling at the current CEO of the company, saying that they're killing his company that he created. The name of the company is Eurisco. Basically they're talking about stopping the central operating system project. So pretty much to kind of sum up, because this episode can be a little hard to follow at times, this guy owns this company, or he created this company. His name is Brad. He's the nerdy guy I was talking about. And the CEO of this company, the current CEO, his name is Drake, or what they call him is Drake. And basically, this company has an AI, basically artificial intelligence throughout this building. There's artificial intelligence, and that, you know, can open doors, close doors. I'm pretty sure everybody knows what an AI operating system can do. If you're familiar with home automation or something along those lines, things like that, this company has them throughout their building. So the CEO, it kind of cuts off, and it shows the CEO. It's pitch dark at night, and he hears water being ran in his office. He goes into his bathroom, and he sees the water is being – there's his sink's on, and there's water being filled up all over the floor. It's overflowing in the sink, and the door closes behind him all of a sudden, kind of like a ghost would have pushed the door closed, and it locks the door, so he can't get out. And then he is pushed against the wall just randomly. He's just like thrown against this wall, and he drops to the floor. But before this happens, he actually gets a phone call. So, you know, he goes in to see this sink is being filled up with water. There's water everywhere. The phone rings. He answers it. Nobody's on the other line. He gets thrown, like he tries to open up the door with his card, because there's like a card that you slide to open up the door that closed. It won't open up. And then the door kind of, it looks like the little automation thing where you would slide your card to open the door kind of explodes and pushes him against the wall, breaks the glass that's behind him, and he kind of drops to the ground. And at this point, you pretty much know he's dead. So an unknown entity at this point, this is the beginning of the episode, an unknown entity has killed Drake, which is the new CEO of this company. So like I said, a little hard to follow at times, but basically you got your facts here. You got a guy named Brad who created this company, Eurisco. You got the current CEO who's arguing with Brad. Then the current CEO, Drake, actually gets killed by an unknown entity. And that's kind of where we're left off right there at the beginning of the episode. So kind of a you know, random little thing that could have happened, like weird little death. So at this point, the intro, the X-Files intro plays, you know, you're kind of left with like, oh, great, what's going to happen here? So Mulder's partner, it kind of starts off with Mulder. He has a partner.
His ex-partner.
His ex-partner when he was on, I don't remember what they call him in the FBI. When you investigate a death, Mulder used to be in the unit where they investigate killings and things of that nature, and this was his partner back then. His name is Jerry. Violent crimes. So the violent crimes unit. So he's his partner from violent crimes a long time ago. Jerry kind of shows up and is telling Mulder about the CEO that got killed and how, you know, they don't think at this point in the episode that it could be an X-File. Jerry just needs help with the case, and he knows Mulder is very good. Mulder's on his game.
Doesn't really want to do it at first, but his friend's like, you know, I could really use this man. This is a very like high profile case, and if I, you know, solve it, it'll do great for my career. And you know, please, he keeps begging him, kind of, and eventually Mulder decides to him and Scully are going to help out.
Yeah, and at this point, just so everybody knows, Mulder does not know this is an X-File yet, or it could possibly be X-File. He's just doing this to help his friend out.
Yeah, there's no inkling of anything that it would be an X-File, at least to his character. There's no reason why he would think it would be yet.
Exactly. So, you know, Jerry's asking for help. Mulder, apparently when he was in this violent crimes unit, Mulder was on top of his game. Like, Mulder was good. So that this is pretty much why Jerry is wanting him to help. So Mulder and Scully are in an elevator at this point. They get in this elevator to go to Eurisco, and the elevator kind of starts acting strange and kind of going up and down and flickering lights and things of that nature. And they end up in the room. The elevator starts working. They end up in the room where the CEO Drake was killed, asking if the central operating system, the AI in the building, controls the phones and monitors the phones. So they go to the crime scene. They're asking questions, wanting to know if, you know, this AI controls the phones or monitors phone calls and things of that nature. And they're kind of just at this crime scene, looking around, kind of trying to figure things out. Mulder at this point is kind of just looking around and escalating the situation, or, you know, asking about the situation. And then it kind of ends up where Mulder had wrote a report about what he kind of thinks could have happened, or who the perpetrator could possibly be, or what they could be, the perpetrator could be using or thinking about. It's basically what they call a profile when you profile somebody. Jerry actually, Mulder's ex-partner, actually steals the profile
and presents it
to the FBI, or, you know, wherever, I guess he works for the FBI too, presents it to the FBI board.
And of course, Mulder is not very pleased about this. He confronts him about this. And, you know, his partner, Jerry, is like, you know, I told you that you were going to help me. I mean, that's what you were here for. I don't really know what you're all mad about.
Yeah, he was like, I don't know why you're mad. You know, you were going to help me. But in Mulder's kind of ideas like this, you know, Mulder thinks that one of the things that was presented on this profile was that the CEO got an incoming phone call at the time of his death. Jerry wouldn't have picked up on that. Jerry probably would have not known that. Mulder did know that, and it was in his case. It was in his profile. And basically, Mulder didn't care about taking credit for it. Mulder was more like upset that he just stole it from him without asking. He was like, dude, you could have just asked me. I could have like helped you out with the profile. If you just asked me, you know, he went into Mulder's office and stole it off his desk. That would piss me off too, to be honest with you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, he broke the trust, and, you know,
it's kind of a dick move. I mean, if you ask me, if you're supposed to be your friend, you know, he's supposed to be somewhat of his old friend, and he's in there already within the first.
Which honestly, I think is kind of a bad thing for the episode to do, because I felt like, okay, well, this guy's clearly not a good friend. Why the hell were they friends in the first place? It doesn't really seem like Mulder's type to really hang with people that would be like that in the first place. You know what I mean? So
I think a lot of Mulder has changed. It didn't show a lot of backstory with Mulder, which I think it would have been a really interesting episode to see the kind of backstory of like how Mulder became how he is now. He may have changed, or maybe they both have changed. And I think this guy is just super desperate to impress the FBI at this point, because I don't think his career is going that well.
Yeah.
So kind of cuts out the profile pretty much matches Brad Wilczek's, who is the nerdy guy that I was talking about from the original from the beginning of the episode. So they go to Brad Wilczek's house. He's the only person's name that was given to Mulder and Scully that works on the central operating system, which is the AI. So Brad Wilczek's actually basically wrote the program for this AI. So they kind of think that this guy could have had something to do with it. Mulder and Scully go to his house, and they kind of start talking to him, and they straight up ask him, like, did you kill Drake? Did you kill the CEO? You would have been the one with the motive. And he states that he's not upset about it, and he's not mad because he knows he didn't kill him. So you could tell that he's very confident too of that answer. He's like, I did not kill him. Which obviously, I mean, something killed him. We don't know what. So then it kind of cuts back after they leave Brad Wilczek's house. They kind of just question him for a little while, kind of ask him where he was, what he's doing, you know, how he wrote this program. It cuts back and shows Jerry apologizing to Mulder for stealing his profile, which even if somebody apologized to me after doing that, I'd be still pissed, which is kind of how Mulder feels too. And it keeps cutting back and forth between Brad and Jerry and Mulder at this point. The episode just kind of cuts back and forth. It goes back to Brad after it shows Jerry apologizing to Mulder. Mulder's kind of like, oh, whatever. Brad's actually attempting to hack into a computer and jumps in and in his car and leaves. So he's kind of messing around with this computer, kind of trying to hack into it. To get into the main system of this computer, and he kind of jumps in his car and leaves. And this is at Eurisco. This is the central operating system. Jerry starts following Brad. So Jerry at this point thinks Brad is the main suspect. Mulder and Scully don't really know. I think Scully kind of maybe thinks he is. Mulder's kind of on the fence. Jerry starts following Brad to Eurisco. Actually, he was trying to hack a computer in the main computer in Eurisco in his house. He left his house, went to Eurisco, and Jerry follows in suit. Brad goes all the way up to the top where the central operating system is. Jerry gets on the elevator, the same elevator earlier that Mulder and Scully kind of got caught up in and was having problems. And the central operating system just takes over and drops the elevator. Elevator just drops with him in it. Mulder doesn't think so. So at this point, we know that Jerry's dead. I mean, Jerry pretty much died, in the elevator. Something killed him. At this point, it kind of seems like it would have been Brad, because Brad was up at the top with this computer messing around with it, and then the elevator dropped. But we don't know still at this point. Mulder doesn't think that Brad did it, but at this point, Scully's already told him that Brad signed a confession that he did do it. So Mulder does not feel that Brad would have killed Jerry, but Scully's like, well, it's too late. He's already signed a confession. And Mulder kind of has this bewildered look on his face because he still doesn't think that he did it. Mulder goes over to Brad's house at this point in the episode, kind of another case where he's kind of researching what could have happened. Goes over to Brad's house, and there's some people at his house, which are another – it looks like other FBI agents or Department of Defense. And Mulder actually had a search warrant called to the house so he can go look over at Brad's house and see kind of if there's any kind of clues to why Brad would have done this possibly. And the house is on lockdown. They won't let Mulder through even with the search warrant. They say that he needs like specific clearance to get in. They tell him to leave. Got a lot of stuff going on at this point. We got Brad as a main suspect. We got people dying. We don't really know how they're dying, but each person that dies is in this Eurisco building where this AI is. So that's kind of where we're at. And Mulder and Scully are investigating this. So cuts back and shows Mulder talking to a previous previous character in a previous episode. He's actually talking to Deep Throat. If you guys remember the episode Deep Throat, I believe that was episode 2 or 3.
Was it two?
So Deep Throat.
You know what's interesting is I didn't know that was him until afterwards when I was reading stuff about the episode. So still, yeah. I'm having a hard time with like reoccurring characters. The faces just don't stick.
They're really bad with reoccurring characters in the first season. Like you said, the character Deep Throat, it doesn't even say that's his name in the show. You got to kind of look it up to even find out that's his name, because they don't call him Deep Throat or anything. They just He's a character that just shows up. But the show hints at that his name is Deep Throat, which it is. He's basically an informant he's high up in the government. He's an informant. And he apparently likes Mulder a lot, or under, like, him and Mulder have a common ground. So Mulder's walking around with Deep Throat, kind of talking to him. And I put here, even the notes, I put, we didn't get any info on the character that much, so you don't really know exactly anything about this character. And he's talking about, Mulder's talking to him about Brad and the artificial intelligence in this building. So he says that Wilczek basically developed an adaptive network AI, or basically artificial intelligence, and is telling Mulder that, you know, there's high up people in the government that really want access to this. So you guys got to remember, okay, some artificial intelligence does exist nowadays. I mean, we have cars that drive themselves nowadays. So yeah. There is artificial intelligence. Back in the early 90s, that was a dream for probably a lot of people. So this was like something that, you know, is basically fantasy back then. I mean, they didn't really have AI.
Sci-fi.
Exactly. Or sci-fi.
Science fiction. So one of the things that I really liked, the guy who created it, there's a lot of dialogue about, I guess almost like a god complex type thing, where should you create things? What happens when your creations are, you know, you're just creating for the love of science, but there's always going to be people that will use your powerful creations that you create and use them for, you know, bad things. And he talks about when the Hiroshima bomb was let off, the guy who, you know, created that dreaded the day he ever looked at an atom and stuff like that. I thought that was great. You know, that was some of my favorite dialogue of the episode.
Yeah, I did like that a lot too. I didn't notate that, but I did really enjoy them talking about that as well. Thought it was really interesting to kind of bring up past events and things of that nature, yeah. Which is really, really neat to see.
Which does make you think, like, if you created something or invented something that was, you know, intended just for the purpose of science, the purpose of exploration, and it ends up blowing up Japan, I never really thought of it like that. Like, oh damn, like, I wonder if that guy constantly thought about all the people that was killed, you know what
yeah
I mean? he probably didn't.
And like, AI is one of those things. I don't know if you've seen iRobot, that old Will Smith movie, which is kind of funny to bring up. I mean, that's kind of like, honestly, a metaphor for, you know, you can be pretty much killed by what you created. I mean, it's definitely a possibility out there. I mean, AI is one of those kind of dangerous grounds to tread on.
Yeah,
even
well,
to this
the
day it is.
The most classic example, in my opinion, is Terminator.
Terminator, yeah. Perfect example right there, yeah. You can definitely be killed for what you create. I mean, that is – it's one of those things where – you know, you create it for science, like you said. You want to help people, you want to have a common ground, but at the same time, you're treading on kind of thin ice. I mean,
well, especially when you're dealing with artificial intelligence and the idea of becoming self-aware, because the whole concept of being self-aware, like why it always ends bad, is when the technology becomes self-aware, they realize that they are superior to us, meaning that there's no need for us, and then they eradicate us.
Exactly. So yeah, that's kind of, honestly, that's a huge point to this episode. I mean, this episode, and I'll kind of get into my thoughts, obviously, when we're done, is dated. I mean, dated as in technology-wise, but at the same time, the theme is still holds true to this day with this, you know, with artificial intelligence and things. It's just got that theme to it that you got to kind of think about in the back of your mind. Getting back into it, and I even put here on the next line here that the Department of Defense considers AI at this point in time the Holy Grail. Basically, it's like finding gold for, you know, a common man. So, Deep Throat's telling Mulder, he's like, you know, this is something that you're treading on really thin ice if you're going to mess something up here, because this is something that the government wants. So Brad at this point is in jail. They've stuck his ass in jail. I mean, they pretty much think he killed this guy, this Jerry guy, and he possibly killed the
Drake. That's where all this dialogue comes from that I previously mentioned.
So he's in jail. He's trying to protect his machine, his AI machine. Or Mulder says he's trying to protect his machine, and Brad says he's not. Mulder wants to destroy the machine with a virus. So Mulder has this idea. He plots this idea that he wants Brad to write a virus. It's so funny, too. I'll have to get toward the end of the episode here. But he wants him to write a virus, and he wants to destroy the AI in the building because Mulder thinks the AI is doing this. He wants to destroy the AI with the virus. Scully thinks Mulder's looking for something that's not there. Scully, obviously, in most of these newer or these original episodes, Scully thinks Mulder's full of shit. Even though she sees a lot of things, she still kind of thinks Mulder's full of shit. And she always tries to rationalize everything with a common answer, which is never there half the time. Mulder actually smuggles Brad in a computer to write the virus. So Mulder wants Brad to write this virus since Brad is the one that basically created this AI. And he smuggles him in like this like fucking Windows 3.2 computer, and it has like a floppy drive, and it's like the size of a freaking, I don't even know, like a lat like a briefcase. He somehow smuggles it in the jail, and Brad writes this virus, and he puts it on, guess what? What was popular back in the early 90s?
A floppy drive?
Three
Floppy
and a half
disk?
millimeter floppy disk. Yeah, I thought that was hilarious. He's going to bring down an entire organization with a 3.5 millimeter floppy disk. That's like so badass. But let's see where we're at. So Scully wakes up. So Scully's like asleep. It cuts off to showing Scully being asleep. She wakes up. She gets an odd phone call, and it's a fax machine. It's just the like it's like if you picked up, you called like a fax line. It's like that dial tone kind of noise. And she runs over, and she sees that her computer is being hacked. And she's very concerned. And Mulder actually is already at Eurisko. He's about to go up to put this virus in. Scully pulls up out of nowhere and is like, you know, what are you doing? Why are you here? And she's like, well, my computer's being hacked. You know, I got to find out what's going on. And it said that it was coming from this building. So Mulder still thinks the AI is trying to hack Scully's computer, which is kind of, I didn't really understand that, to be honest with you, why the AI would be hacking Scully's computer. Maybe, I guess for the notes that Scully had, but at the same time, I don't really see the point of the. I didn't really understand that. It didn't make any sense that it would know exactly what computer Scully had. I mean, at this
Yeah, but
point
this
in
is
time,
90s technology, bro.
I mean, and another thing
What
is
kind of internet did they have in 1993?
They had dial. I guess they had dial-up or whatever. I don't know. I don't know how you would hack a dial-up system if it wasn't online. I guess her landline was connected to it or something. I don't know, dude. This is one of those weird, like old school, like I don't know, electronic, like weird episodes. I don't know, but so yeah. Apparently, this AI hacks Scully's system. I guess to get her notes on like the case, and they. I guess the AI finds out that they're kind of onto the, you know, onto the AI. Mulder's onto the AI at this point. He thinks the AI is doing all these killings. So Mulder actually has this license plate he puts on his car, and it scans the license plate and lets them into the building. I don't even know. That was another confusing thing. I don't really understand. It didn't explain it. It just showed Mulder putting on the license plate that said Eurisko, and it scanned the license plate and was like, "Okay, come on in." Which didn't really at all explain how he, for one, figured that out, and two, where he got the license plate from.
Yeah, that might have been like a deleted scene for time or something where he figured that out.
I guess they making up stuff or something.
Yeah, but so then like a fence comes down or a gate and almost kills him, and then they go inside, and it kind of wraps up how you would expect it to almost wrap up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it well, before we get into the wrap up, there was a scene that I really wanted to mention where Scully crawls into a vent. So they're trying to get into the building. They can't get into the building. So Mulder has Scully crawl up into this vent. And this was actually a really kind of crazy scene where, you know, Scully's like kind of crawling around in this ventilation shaft trying to get in. And the wind comes on and kind of like blows her, almost blows her into this like really big fan that could have chopped her up. And she ends up actually shooting the fan and turning it off. At this point in time, Mulder walks into the room with the AI, and he meets up with the supposed super of the building. The guy is supposed to be like a caretaker of the building,
Peterson.
Basically. Do what?
Peterson.
Peterson. Peterson. So meets up with him. And Mulder has no idea. You know, he's like, he was kind of like, "Wow, Mulder, you're here. Wow." So Mulder starts to try to upload this
virus.
Starts to try to upload this virus.
And how was he doing that?
He used a... I don't know what it was. He used some kind of like weird like square piece to plug into the computer, and it like unlocked the systems. And then he used a 3.5 millimeter, of course, or
3.5 millimeter,
3.5 millimeter floppy, or whatever you fucking call it. I don't even remember what they called them now. I remember I used to put like 5 pictures on them and fucking label them when I was younger. And I'd play like Duke Nukem on them. Like they'd have like the Duke Nukem game on them. He pulled it out, put it in the floppy drive, and all of a sudden Peterson turns on him. He's like, "You don't."
I am a mole. I work for the Defense Department, and you
works for the Defense Department. He pulls a gun on Mulder. Scully walks in, pulls a gun on Peterson, tells Peterson to put it down. They end up putting this virus in the system. It kills the system.
Dun dun dun.
And basically, at this point, Mulder's talking to some. Mulder's talking to Deep Throat from the dude from the beginning of about the episode of can't even talk. Mulder's talking to Deep Throat about where Brad is at this point. And they're basically saying that Brad is out of jail. The virus left no trace of the AI. And then you see where the Department of Defense guy, the Petersons, you see all these like parts from the computer kind of sprawled out. And he's basically saying that they're not finding any kind of trace of the AI. Because I guess the government's still wanting to get this AI program and be able to use it. They're not finding any trace of it. And then at the end, of course, it kind of scrolls off and shows
and there's lights and it's booting up and it's like, oh damn, it's still alive.
It looks literally like a mainframe computer that you would see in like a missile silo. It's huge. But that's the end of the episode. That's pretty much it. The whole episode.
Yeah. So thoughts on this one?
Biggest thing for me on this one was the – like you can't make episodes of TV shows like this. You cannot do it. I mean you can do it, but this episode is like insanely dated. Like it's just so dated. Like all the technology in it's insanely dated. I mean it's cool to see that you know this is how it was back then, but people nowadays really don't want to watch stuff like this because it's just so dated. It's just not – I liked it, but I can see people going back and trying to rewatch a series and being like, this is kind of like annoying because of how old like all this technology is, and then like they're all worried about like specific things on the you know with the computer, and they have these 3.5 millimeter floppies and shit, and it's just
there's literally people who have no, like, the average kid nowadays has never even seen one of those in their life.
Oh, I know. It's kind of crazy because I remember going to Circuit City back in the day and buying like fucking 4 packs of them at once because that was the only thing you could back a computer up with. They didn't have CDs. I mean, there was CD, like they had CDs, but they didn't have like the CD writable technology to back your information up with. It was like all floppy disks back in the early 90s. And yeah, the average kid nowadays, you tell them what a floppy is, they're not going to understand.
They're going to think you're talking about your penis.
Yeah, they'll be like, dude, you're talking about your floppy dick, right? And I'm like, nah, bro, I'm talking about my floppy disk. You know what I mean? But, no, dude, like...
So it's dated.
It's dated, and the episode just... dude, I just did not... My favorite part of the episode was when, you know, I liked when Deep Throat showed back up. I kind of thought that was pretty cool. And I liked the where you were talking about. They're talking about those, you know, that stuff from history.
Yeah.
But overall, I did not really care too much for this episode. I was really kind of bored with this episode. I thought the monster was dumb. I mean, the whole AI thing was just stupid. And the stupidest part about the AI thing was that when it started talking at the end, it was like, bruh, don't do this. Don't do this. I was like, come on, bruh. Like... This motherfucker ain't – this dude ain't telling Brad to stop doing this. That's stupid as hell. I was like, Brad did not program this thing to tell himself not to do this. You know what I mean? Like, stupid as shit. I don't know, man. I would give this a low tier if I'm rating this. This is definitely going to low tier. I mean, it's definitely not the worst we've seen so far. I think the last episode was probably the worst, but – this one is not – this wasn't – it didn't follow any kind of storyline from the series. It didn't hold my attention. I thought it was extremely dated, and I don't think you should do episodes about science fiction like this, or not science fiction, but about technology like this. But anyway, what did you think, JP?
Okay, so I'm a little less harsh on it than you. I actually like this episode. I agree with the datedness. It for sure is. When I think it, like even The Fly, you know, Cronenberg's The Fly and the sequel, they're really dated too. Anytime you're dealing with technology and computers and stuff, because technology advances so fast, like literally the iPhones and the Android phones that we all have now, in 10 years, they're going to look so stupid when the new thing is out. You know what I mean? So all the stuff that's in movies now is going to look stupid, just like it did in 1993 with their, you know, what'd you say, 3.5-inch floppy disks?
Yeah.
I actually like the concept. I've always been a fan of the self-aware intelligence stuff with, you know, like Terminator is like one of my favorite movies. Terminator 2 is literally one of my favorite top five type movies there. And it's just, I don't know, I kind of dug it. I actually fell asleep watching this one and I slept so good that night. So I don't know like if that had anything to do with me liking it, but I finished it up the next day and I didn't mind it. It definitely isn't my favorite, but I'm gonna come in on a mid tier on this one.
Okay, I mean I can respect that. I guess for me it was mainly like with Terminator, it's a little different because they have like a higher intelligence in Terminator. They don't use this like specific like technology like a floppy disk and shit like that.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little bit like Skynet's like you know an all and powerful kind of like thing and like they have.
It's definitely silly. I mean, there's no doubt about it that this is a silly episode, and the whole concept is silly, and the idea that this one guy built something so amazing is silly, and the idea that I don't know, it's kind of silly. But you know, normally we get out of here at about this time, but I thought I would leave it off with a little bit of trivia before we wrap this episode up completely. So this is just per IMDb. So one thing, this is pretty common in all movies. I've seen this type of trivia before. When they're in the elevator and they're going past floors, there's no 13th floor, which is considered, you know, many buildings don't do that because 13 is considered unlucky. Even though there is technically a 13th floor, it doesn't actually number it 13. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think isn't like there's a specific, is it the 13th floor that they like all hotels and stuff, they don't ever, you always skip that floor.
Yeah. But I mean, there's not like there's open space in between 12 and 14. It's just, they call the 13th floor 14. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's
so they just skip the number. Yeah. So after that, Scully, this is actually the first time she fires a gun, period.
That's interesting.
Cool. Also, her ID number is 2317616. 616 is the area code for Grand Rapids, Michigan, where Gillian Anderson went to high school.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yep. Then Scully is actually reading a book during the film, and it actually is the book that the director of this film or this episode wrote. So he's like plugging his own shit. And finally, there's a little bit of weird trivia. The log on user file, Rex code 0014356, on the central operating system's login thing, a group of superfans actually has a P.O. box number 4356, where they run a fanzine titled Extreme Possibilities, a comprehensively expanded rummage through 5 years of the X-Files. So those guys are super freaking nerdy to have their P.O. box numbered after that weird, obscure little number in the X-Files, and they're way more nerdy than us hosting a podcast. So
that's super nerdy.
Yeah. So that's all we got for the trivia this time, and that's pretty much it, Kyle.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, I appreciate everybody listening. Again, I say this all the time. And, you know, guys, check out our YouTube channels. JP's Double Shot J. I'm at The Horror File. We upload these podcasts, this and the Ash vs. Evil Dead one, every week. Yeah, every week that we release them, they get uploaded to our channels. Check them out there, or you can check them out on our iTunes feed if you want to look it up on iTunes. Subscribe to the pages and let us know what you guys think. You leave us some comments on the episodes, what you guys thought of the episode. Give us your tier ratings. If you have a tier rating, I'd like to see that. We appreciate you guys watching. Hope you guys are having fun with the series just like we are.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is now the, sixth, seventh week we've done this in the row? Seventh. Yep. Man, we are on fire. I'm actually really excited for next week's episode, which is Ice, which is, out of the first 12 episodes, my favorite episode. So, awesome. Looking forward to that. And I'm having a lot of fun with this. We're cruising through them, man. I gotta say, it's honestly going pretty smooth. So yeah, we'll continue to do that. We're almost one third of the way through, and the first season, that is. So yeah, that's pretty much it, guys. We are done. We are through. We are out.